it's more than a lifeline. He gave them so much time now to figure out what to do, because they were in a real bind, a real big bind. They wouldn't have been able to do anything. "He had the weapon and he was unable to use it," added Donald Trump. "And it's a shame, these 11 people, I know them. Some are wonderful and some I don't agree with too often. You know, I'm not surprised to see some of the names. But I will tell you that this was not a good thing that happened today. He made a big mistake." Earlier in the day, Donald Trump issued a statement urging Republican senators to not vote for this terrible deal being pushed by folding Mitch McConnell. Although 10 senators did join Mitch McConnell, no Republicans voted in favor of the bill itself, which temporarily increases the debt limit until December, and did not require GOP votes to pass. Newsweek has reached out to Mitch McConnell's office for comment. Meanwhile, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, a Democrat from New York, delivered a speech blasting Republicans for partisan brinkmanship just after the 11 GOP senators joined with Democrats to end debate on the bill and allow the vote to move forward. "Republicans played a dangerous and risky partisan game, and I'm glad that their brinkmanship did not work," Senator Chuck Schumer said. He added, "For the good of American families, for the good of our economy, Republicans must recognize in the future that they should approach fixing the debt limit in a bipartisan way." Leader Mitch McConnell and Senate Republicans insisted they wanted a solution to the debt ceiling, but said Democrats must raise it alone by going through a drawn-out, convoluted, and risky reconciliation process, he added. "That was simply unacceptable to my caucus." And yesterday, Senate Republicans finally realized that their obstruction was not going to work. Senator Chuck Schumer's speech reportedly infuriated a number of Republicans who had allowed the vote to move forward. It also rankled Senator Joe Manchin, a Democrat from West Virginia, who told reporters that he didn't think it was appropriate at this time.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran, for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, you are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing, where we discuss problems, issues, and other questions parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. As usual, all of the informations or questions and answers provided in this program are all based upon the answers of the Holy Quran and of the knowledge of the household of the Prophet and, of course, of the Prophet himself. Peace be upon them all. Joining us in the studio is our guest speaker and dear friend, Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sayyid, welcome and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us as usual, dear Sayyid. So we will just pick off where we left off last time, and we have now reached rule number 23 of the 25 rules of etiquette to follow when we want to discipline our children. And we say discipline, not punish our children, because there is a difference.
Excellent. So, number 22. If you want to punish a child, punishment cannot be done publicly, because sometimes you will punish him in front of his friends, in front of his family members, in front of his brothers and sisters, siblings,
classmates, and so on.
Yeah, because doing so, it will give him, how should I say it? You would give him the encouragement to do it again. See, sometimes, like even with us grown-ups, that if I'm shy from you, right? I have me and you, between me and you, there's boundaries, and I don't want to do anything in front of you bad. But if I do, and I see reaction, maybe not what I expected, it gives me that, well, this what we call jur'ah, right? You have this audacity to do it again and again until it becomes okay, normal.
Because it's seemingly acceptable by the counterpart.
Yeah, it becomes very acceptable, ahsan. So with children, for example, if they are punished in front of their siblings or in front of their friends, at the beginning it's a big thing for them, right? You come and you tell them off in front of their kids, friends, or their brothers. To be
humiliation.
And you do it once, twice, and then the child gets immune to it. He doesn't care anymore. So you're not doing anything. So the punishment just goes out of the door. One, you're not going to benefit anything from that. Because a lot of people, sadly, they do that publicly. They drag their kids, they pull them from the ear, they hit them, they scream at them in front of people. And then you see the child doesn't care. He, wherever he is, he'll cry and scream and all the time. He'll keep repeating it.
Right.
Only because he's being punished in front of people, which you shouldn't be. So as parents, as educators, we should not do that. So that's one. Two, you break their own identity. Because every child has an identity. He has a personality he wants to preserve,
right,
especially in front of his friends. And when you come and attack him and scream at him and yell at him and, I don't know, call him names in front of his friends and siblings, he feels that he's not significant anymore.
Of course.
And he's like, you know what? I don't care. Whatever happens, let it happen.
Because we behave differently with who we are with. And if with your parents, we behave differently. And with our friends, we are vastly different. And in a classmate, in a social environment, we are perhaps known as the proper child, the good child. We have our own persona, like we work on. Every child has their own persona.
Exactly.
If you just come and smash that mirror image.
Exactly. So then you're not doing any good. You're doing more damage. So we don't want the child to be able to do more problems and more mistakes and more faults. We want them to do less. So punishing them in front of people publicly, unless, you know, without getting him to apologize and stuff like that, is actually have more devastating effect than benefits.
Right. And you say we will take a quick break.
When I was born, the first words that I had heard were the words of Allah being whispered through my ear. And as I felt Allah's presence in my soul, that day Islam took me in its fold.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we're discussing the 25 rules of etiquette to follow when you want to discipline our children. Picking off where we left off, we were speaking about rule number 22, about not punishing our children in public places. Dear Sayyid, please continue.
Number 23. If you want to punish a child, make sure you don't take anything of their personal items. So, a child does a mistake, the parents will take their phones.
Right.
They will take their games, consoles. They take their stories. They take their toys, things that they like.
Right.
It's a property to them. Even though we bought it for them, even though we gave it to them.
Right.
But now it is theirs. when they look at it, they don't look at the phone as a phone that my dad got me. He will say it's mine. He will say it's my iPad. He will not say the iPad that dad got me.
Right.
To you, it's, oh, I got it for him, so everything is mine. To him, no, it's mine. So sometimes with parents, they come and they punish the children by taking these things away from them. Now, what that does, we basically giving them the green light or the idea that they can take the property of other people. So you might be trying to prove something, but you're teaching them something else. That it's okay to take the property of other people. And you see, especially this with siblings in the household, for example, the parents take one toy from one child, the other child or the same child that you took the toy from, he goes and he takes his brother's toy.
Often immediately after.
Immediately, yeah. Right. Because you just, basically all you did is you taught him how to do it.
This is the rule of the jungle,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, you taught him it's okay. Yeah, right. Like I said, the rule of the jungle. The weak gets eaten and the strong is the weak.
Right.
So if you want to punish, you have to make sure that you do not touch any of the property or anything that's personal to them.
This goes back to, again, the parents' understanding of a child. Some people think they own the child. Some people think whatever they buy the child, they also own. And it's just a horrible superiority complex.
It is, and I think we discussed that many times. That and then that's most of the times you see the problem with bringing up kids and uprising kids is the fact that most parents think that they are their own property.
Exactly.
So I can do whatever I want to do with them. So even not giving them an education, proper uprising, is my right. If I don't do it, who's to say? So we don't look at it. We always look at it like that. We don't look at it as they are a gift or amana or trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we need to deal with them in this case. And also that, like you mentioned, that the things that we give them or the things they have, they're not ours anymore. It belongs to someone else. It's like if I give you a gift, if I give you something, I can't say it's mine.
Right.
Yes, sure.
Makes
I
no
gave
logical
it to him,
sense.
A gift, but no longer mine. It's yours now.
You can say I bought it for you, but not in the aspect of this
yeah,
is mine.
Yeah,
I can
so
still
imagine,
deal with it.
Yeah, so imagine if I give you a gift and then I come and take it from you. And it's like, why? Well, I gave it to you.
Right.
But
right.
It's not yours anymore. You know?
Exactly.
That's the idea of giving. It's mine. So with kids, we have to make sure that if we want to punish them, that we do not take anything personal from them.
It also hurts them in like an unimaginable way. Like, this is a trusted person. This is your mother. She gave you a gift. And then she confiscates it, or worse, she breaks it, like a toy you have for punishing you, and you will just feel a sense of utter betrayal.
Yeah, I mean, if you see, that's the problem. Like you mentioned, a good point here. If you damage their property, that's even a worse.
That's horrible. That remains.
Situation.
I've known people who remember that.
The child will be stubborn. Will be he will be outraged because the thing is, like, maybe to me it's a phone or something stupid. It's a toy. To him, it's something that he is close to.
Right.
He has a relationship with it. He has a connection with it.
Right.
And when I've seen this, even with my own kids, sometimes when I break something that's, let's say, good to them or nice to them, and I see it as just ridiculous, just a small toy,
right.
I throw it. And I don't intend to break it, I just throw it. And I see the child break, it cries. Like, I'm like, why are you crying? He's like, oh, I love it. I'm like, okay, right. Let's try to fix it.
Exactly.
So to them, yeah. It means something. It has a sentimental value. To us, it doesn't. So we need to keep that in mind as well.
It's a very important point to say it. And on that note, we will go on a quick break.
Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam said, a child's right is to be kind to him when educating him, forgiving him, covering his mistakes, acting moderately towards him, and helping him.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we're discussing the 25 rules to follow when we want to discipline our children, and we have now reached rule number 24. Please educate us further, dear Sayyid.
All right. Number 24 is that when we want to punish, we have to make sure that we're not punishing too much for the same mistake. So sometimes the child makes one mistake, or the same continuous mistake that he makes all the time, and you see us screaming our head off at them every time they do it.
Right.
3, 4, 5, 6 times a day. And you can see that you yelling and you talking and you screaming your head, or even if you have put a system in place, you can see it's not working. So why continue doing it? You see that it's not doing any good. All right, so if you do it 10 more times, 100 more times, it's not going to make a difference. So what you need to do is you need to think of another way to either change the punishment system or at least try to seek the root of the problem. And I think we spoke about that among the first points. Find out what's causing the child to be like this. Why is he always crying? Why is he always, I don't know, arrogant? Why is he always being in a state of not happy, or, you know, whatever emotional state he must be going through?
Or, of course, always we need to try and find the root of the problem, of course. Sometimes it is something very superficial, like he's angry because something happened at school. Fix that easily, right? Or this game doesn't work, so he's lashing out. Fix that easily.
Or sometimes just he might be just missing some basic needs, like, I don't know, a bit of extra love. A bit of extra attention. You know, you give him more attention, it will solve the problem. Or sometimes you just ignore it itself. He will stop. So if he's doing something stupid constantly, if you put your mind into it, it stays in his head too.
Right.
And he just keeps doing it. If you ignore it, he does it one twice, and then like he sees that no one cares about it.
They do it because they want attention. And
exactly.
That is
either they want attention, or they just do it because, like I said, we bring it to their attention.
Exactly.
We bring to their attention, so they keep doing it. But if you just ignore it once, twice, three, four times, he will stop too. Because he sees, like, okay, so that's not something important. No one cares about it. Right. I don't know.
Too meaningless for me as well.
Yeah, so I'm like, he just lets it go.
Right.
And so most of the parents that fall into that mistake, they concentrate too much on the same thing, same problem.
Make a huge deal out of it.
Yeah, they make a huge deal out of it, and then things just go sideways. So this is not required. So as with parents, we say to them, look at how many times you're punishing, look at how many times you're trying to tell the kids off for something, and see if it's working or not.
Right.
So you can do it 100 times, you could do it 10 times a day. If that's happening, then you have to understand that your whatever you're trying to punish them with is not working.
It's
you
not
need to choose a new approach, a different approach, and try to, I don't know, change your style.
Right. So if it's not working, either there's another problem and a more serious underlying problem, and you need to find the root of this problem, or you just need to adjust the punishment. Summarized, right?
I'll ignore it.
I'll ignore it, of course.
Ignore it completely.
Right.
Yeah, so it's like how you going about it is up to you, but it has to be one of these things that we just mentioned.
Right. To say it, I thank you for your time, and I thank the dear listeners for tuning in. This has been your host, Musa Al-Bahadli, and you have been listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. As usual, if our dear listeners have any questions or feedback, they can contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir. Alternatively, you can also find us on our social media accounts under the call handle of Call of Islam Radio on Facebook or on Instagram. Thank you for tuning in.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space returned upon rest.
Food for thought.
Today is Rabiul Awwal 2nd, the day after the Prophet's migration from Mecca to Medina, a crucial turn in the history of Islam that was made possible by the self-sacrificing act of Imam Ali, peace upon him, who relates, "The Prophet asked me if I would sleep on his bed at the risk of my life for his safety. I delightedly obeyed his order. And I was very happy to do that. That crucial night had come, and the Messenger of Allah left Mecca. I slept on his bed. In the middle of the night, the men of Quraysh broke into the Prophet's house, with drawn swords. But when they opened the door of the prophet's room, I got up from his bed and dispersed them.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Russia has sent an actress and a director to space to make the world's first movie in orbit. The crew blasted off from Kazakhstan for the International Space Station along with a cosmonaut and successfully reached the orbit. They spent 4 months on preparation for the flight. After 12 days in space, they will return to Earth. The movie, named Challenge, is about a doctor who goes to the space station to treat an astronaut with a heart ailment. Russian officials say the project will help burnish the nation's space glory. Australian scientists have developed artificial structures that act as a much-needed habitat for marine life.
It's extremely exciting because we have seen a total of more than 90 species colonizing these diverse panels. And we see 30 to 40% more species on the panels in the living seawalls than on the unmodified parts of the seawall, so the seawalls with no panels. So that's extremely exciting and really gives us confidence to scale this up to other environments and other artificial structures.
The project has installed over 1,000 artificially designed panels onto seawalls in Sydney. These craggy concrete panels are 3D printed and designed to last for at least 20 years. Only a short time after installation, they turned into a cozy new home for the fish, crustaceans, and other marine life.
So we have more fish in Sydney Harbour than we have in the entire UK coast. So we have more than 500 species of fish in the harbor, so that's quite impressive. But what we notice is that urbanization and the human settling, especially towards the coast, has a lot of impacts on this amazing marine environment, and that's what we are trying to mitigate a bit with the living seawalls by attaching these panels that mimic natural features such as rocky shores and rock pools and crevices and nooks and crannies.
After becoming popular in Australia, the panels were also installed in Wales and Singapore. The scientists say since the installation of these panels, the quality of Sydney's harbour water has improved. They hope coastal structures built in the future would be ecologically sustainable, designed not only for humans, but for nature. Postal Service has come up with an innovative idea to speed up the mail sorting process, not by humans, but a fleet of robots. 55 tiny yellow robots powered by artificial intelligence are helping employees in Hellenic Post Sorting Center. They scan postal codes to identify the bundle's destination, weigh the parcels, and put them in related platforms. The program aims to handle increasing number of packages from online shopping, especially during the pandemic.
The end result is a threefold increase in sorting speed of parcels, ensuring next day delivery for our customers. These autonomous mobile robots are energy efficient, thus directly reducing the energy consumption of the sorting process, and that way allowing us to take a greener approach to operations.
According to the company, up to 80% of mail sorting has been passed to the four-wheeled robots. Each day, these little machines manage around 168,000 packages weighing up to 15 kilograms. Every 4 hours, they need recharging, which takes 5 minutes.
Plastic pollution has become one of the most pressing environmental issues as disposable products overwhelm the world's ability to deal with them. Indonesian activists have come up with an idea to convince people to rethink their habits and say no to single-use bags and bottles. Environmentalists have created a museum made entirely from plastic waste in the town of Gresing in East Java. It took them 3 months to collect used plastic items, ranging from bottles and bags to sachets and straws. They were all assembled from polluted rivers and beaches. The centerpiece of this museum is a statue whose skirt is made from single-use sachets of household items. The museum has become a popular location for selfies and has received more than 400 visitors since it opened last month.
I will definitely change my life habits. For example, like when I go to the market or to a grocery store that provides a plastic bag, I will switch to a tote bag. And when I buy a drink, I will use a tumbler.
Environmentalists say their plan behind the exhibition was to send a message about the world's worsening ocean plastic crisis. The plastic problem is particularly acute in Indonesia, a nation that ranks second only behind China for its volume of plastics that end up in the seas.
People around the world celebrate the changing seasons in different ways. In the U.S., an annual pumpkin contest is held to kick off the fall season. Each year, farmers and vegetable enthusiasts from across the U.S. gather in New England for the competition. Anyone bringing the largest homegrown pumpkin gets the prize. This year, a man from Abington, Connecticut, got the prize for his pumpkin weighing more than 2,000 pounds. Alex Noel explains how he worked hard to produce that giant pumpkin.
A nearly unlimited amount of work goes into producing a 2,000-pound-plus pumpkin. I put about 1,000 hours a season into 2 to 3 giant pumpkins, and you're lucky to even get that many by the end of the year. I'm out there watering, fertilizing, keeping excess water off if it's too rainy, which it was this year. Spraying insecticides, spraying fungicides, pruning, training vines, dropping up leaves at the end of the season, putting blankets on when it's cold out, heating cables, fans. I mean, the list goes on and on.
The New England Giant Pumpkin Way Off began at the Topsfield Fair in 1984. That year, the winner showcased a pumpkin weighing 196 kilograms. The Way Off has received worldwide recognition, too. Syria's ancient city of Aleppo seems getting a taste of normalcy amid reconstruction efforts in the war-ravaged city. A Syrian historian has also been contributing to make the city regain its lost glory. Ala al-Sayed is working to faithfully restore the lost sections of Aleppo's old city. For that, he is using documents and clippings he himself saved during the early years of the conflict. He says he came up with the idea to digitalize those documents in 2013. Then he embarked on organizing newspapers, books, and pamphlets while scanning each one to add to his digital library. Following the liberation of Aleppo, Ella came back to the city and started renovating historic places which are on the World Heritage List.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
The North Dublin suburb of Howth has a new highly efficient firefighting crew. The group has 25 members, but none of them are human.
Howth was targeted by a lot of fire, and so there's a lot of gorse here, and it's prone, it's very flammable. The goats, on the other hand, love gorse, so it's a win-win in that sense. I suppose the project also focuses on the old Irish goat, defining their role as a functional biodiversity crew. They're a hard-working crew, they're up for the job, they're keen to do it. It also instills key conservation grazing principles to tackle fire prevention, habitat management, and the control of invasive species. So it's the old Irish ladies that have a job to do here and are well able to do it.
The goats graze eagerly on the ample gorse bushes, which are highly inflammable and cause blazes in hot weather. The local council hopes their deployment will make Howth less susceptible to wildfires. Conservationists also hope that the project will contribute to the survival of the old Irish goats, which almost went extinct in the last century. Each member of the herd has a box around their neck with a built-in GPS device. If the goats stray too far, the gadget will ping and let the owner know.
Five Siberian tiger cubs born in a South Korean zoo have made their first public debut. The cubs were born at Everland Theme Park in Yongin in late June. Their birth brought joy and hope to wildlife enthusiasts as they are listed as endangered species. Zookeepers say it's unusual for Siberian tigers to give birth to five babies at once. South Korean people selected the cubs' names through an online vote. Many exotic fruit plants need the tropical climate to grow, but Assyrian is producing nearly 100 types of tropical fruits at his backyard in a coastal city of Tartus. Mohammed Hassan's passion for agriculture is to the extent that he left his job in media to build a farm. He managed to create a tropical environment at his compound, and that was the reason behind his success in growing fruits that are rare in many parts of the world. In fact, he has turned his farm into what he likes to be described as a tropical cave.
I came across the world of tropical fruits as some of them existed here. Many immigrants also helped me on this path. They bought me special varieties from India, South America, the Caribbean and other countries, even China. Currently, we grow 93 types of fruits.
Hassan's success has encouraged other Tartus residents to create their own farms. The government is also assisting Hassan with his unique business. His farm is now open to tourists and visitors where they can taste the products. Hassan says he has bigger plans for the future and is thinking about using his tropical environment to raise and breed rainforest animals. In Brazil, paleontologists have discovered the fossilized remains of a dinosaur that lived roughly 70 million years ago.
It's a bipedal dinosaur with short arms, around 5 meters long, and it was at the top of the food chain in the period in which it lived. It was the predator at the time.
Paleontologists say The fossil suggests a dinosaur species known as Kurupi itata was a meat eater. They found the ancient predator's remains at one of Brazil's richest sites for dinosaur findings in the city of Sao Paulo. The first piece of Kurupi itata's fossil was unearthed during an excavation work in 2002. Until the completion of the research, a model of this species would be on display at Monte Alto's Museum of Paleontology. Experts believe the discovery would help scientists better understand paleontology on Brazilian lands. Most of us know the feeling of being moved by a work of art. A Kosovo artist tries to make us understand a form of political discourse through a mosaic of outgoing German Chancellor Angela Merkel. Alkent Pajogo has made a Merkel mosaic from seeds. The artist says he wished to thank the German leader for having been an example for all the women of the world. He says his work is also a tribute to the towering lady for the support she had given to his country, which declared its independence in 2008. Pajago was doing his work on the same day Germans were voting in the general elections to choose a successor to Merkel. Alkan Pajago holds two Guinness World Records for his giant mosaics made with seeds.
Technology plays an important role in our daily lives. This time, a French company has introduced a device to help the visually impaired to avoid obstacles. The smart electronic device detects obstacles and warns users with a beep. People with vision loss can install it on the top of their canes and receive information through headphones. The gadget helps people to dodge barriers on the ground and above that, for example, the open door of a truck.
If you hear the sound to the right, it means that the obstacle is on the right. If it is straight ahead, the obstacles are in front of you. So you change course according to what you hear. If you hear an obstacle to the left, you go to the right, and this way you can go around the obstacle.
The device costs around $2,300 and is now being used by hundreds of people in Belgium, France, Germany, Italy, and Switzerland.
Wally the Walrus has risen to fame with his extensive travels around Europe. Now the giant mammal has added Iceland to his list of trips. Wally has previously visited France, Spain and the UK. His last known location before Iceland was Ireland. Scientists were not sure at first if they had indeed seen Wally, but Seal Rescue Ireland recognized him from scars on his front flippers. The wandering walrus is 4 years old and weighs about a ton. He has covered a distance of around 5,000 kilometers in his recent trips. Wally is now on his way towards his home in the Arctic. A French zoo has had a very productive year, welcoming multiple new animals into its collection. Two pumas, two jaguars, nine Peruvian squirrel monkeys, and even rarer macaque twins are new additions to Lemingne Zoo this summer. The animals were bred as part of a program designed to maintain and promote the conservation of endangered species. Once they reach the breeding age, these animals will be transported to other zoos to help boost the population of their species.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Rabbi tu billahi rabba wa
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun alaikum, and so welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. I invite you to be with us during this episode. We're going to speak about the concept of responsibility of men and women in Islam. Let's see what date is today. Today, Saturday, is the 2nd of the month of Rabiul Awwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 17th of May, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 9th of October, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment by recitation of Chapter Al-Ma'un.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين.
Have you seen the one who denies the recompense?
فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم.
For that is the one who drives away the orphan.
ولا يحض على طعام المسكين.
And does not encourage the feeding of the poor.
فويل للمصلين.
So woe to those who pray.
الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون.
But who are heedless of their prayer.
الذين هم يراءون.
Those who make show of their deeds.
وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ.
And withhold simple assistance.
لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
مَا لَنَا رَبٌ سِوَى.
The substantial point here is that when we are dealing with the orphan, affection and humane treatment is more significant than food, because an orphan must tolerate the lack of affection and spiritual feeding rather than the bodily food which is in the secondary stage. Of course, feeding the needy mentioned in these verses is one of the most important good actions, so that if we cannot feed a needy one, we must encourage others to do so. Those who lack faith in the resurrection and the reckoning in that great court and receiving reward and punishment dare to commit sin, and therefore all kinds of vice can be seen in their behavior.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, Hadiths of the Infallibles, Lessons from the Life of the Infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, ya Allah.
This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. The topic is the concept of responsibility of men and women in Islam. Human beings in Islam have both material and spiritual characteristics. Islam does not accept the theory of evolution that human beings were created as apes.
Human beings have two dimensions in Islam. One dimension is the highest one, the soul of God, and the other is the lowest, mud. Human beings were created free with the ability to decide and act in such a way to stay anywhere within their dimension, between the highest and lowest levels. Human beings are not all equal, but they are brothers and sisters. They are the only creatures of God who can carry the mission of God in this world and have knowledge. Men and women are completely equal in Islam. Human beings have the highest rank of all creatures of God. So, what is the role of human beings in this world? Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa min astain. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with discharging our responsibilities as viewed in the Islamic religion. First and foremost, it must be indicated that from the Islamic point of view, everybody is responsible regarding any kind of grace or any kind of blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them. And in this connection, we note that nobody is exempted from discharging his or her responsibilities. Imagine that, for example, someone has made a good medical doctor. When you become a good medical doctor, not only the hospital with which you work, but also the whole community expects many things from you. Or, for example, when you make a good university professor or a good teacher, everybody expects you to discharge your responsibilities as fine as possible, I mean, as best as possible. In this connection, you find that this is so in the Islamic religion. And from the Islamic religious perspective, we find that in the sense of discharging our responsibilities, is sometimes concerned with our own benefits, and sometimes it's concerned with the benefits of the community. And sometimes, I mean, we are responsible before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we find that, I mean, religious piety and being God-fearing is a kind of responsibility that everybody, I mean, every believer is expected to sense and to act according to in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can escape the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even when we think about something, we are still, I mean, quite theoretically speaking, even at the level of thinking about something, we are still in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's inescapable to leave aside our responsibilities.
Responsibilities towards Allah, the Almighty. Allah is the creator of all that exists, the sustainer of everything, the giver of every favor, the only true God, worthy of worship and praise, the unique. His mercy is immense, and likewise his torment is extreme. We as his creatures are obligated to worship and behave in him based on the teachings of Islam. Otherwise, our belief or worship will be not accepted and will be of no avail. It's forbidden to try to imagine God that is To give him a specific appearance, he's like no one and nothing resembles him. We know him by contemplating in his signs and creatures and by information revealed in the Quran and Hadith. Our understanding of Allah is to be derived from no other sources beyond these two.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIV English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Social responsibility in Islam. Prophet of Allah, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, said, "The faithful in their love for one another, and in their having mercy for one another, and in their kindness toward one another, are like one body. When a member of it ails, all the part of the body call one another to share the pain through sleeplessness and fever." The difference between Islam and most other religions in that is did not content itself with merely establishing acts of worship and abandon the needs of society to a Caesar or any form of temporal governing body. Rather, Islam established ways of conduct, relationship, and rights and obligations for the individual vis-a-vis members of his family and the nation, and for the nation vis-a-vis other nations.
Responsible human being. One of the greatest verses within the Holy Quran. You will see it today. You will be introduced to it today. You want one advice from the Quran? One advice. You tell me, say it. Don't give me five. Don't give me six. Give me one advice. Your best. Your most important advice. The Quran says, you want my number one advice? You want me to sum up all of the Quran and the religion of Islam and everything in one sentence? قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَعِظُكُمْ بِوَاحِدَةٍ أَن تَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ. Rise. Don't be lazy. Don't sit down. Don't. أَن تَقُومُوا. Be active. لِلَّهِ. لِلَّهِ. For Allah. أَن تَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ مَثْنَى. As a group. وَفُرَادَى. But sometimes by yourselves. Don't think because you're by yourself, you should not rise for Allah. You should be afraid of being lonely. وَفُرَادَ ثُمَّ تَتَفَكَّرُوا أَن تَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ مَثْنَى وَفُرَادَ ثُمَّ تَتَفَكَّرُوا. And then for you to think, to use your mind, let us allow this mind to be stimulated for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. That was all for today's special. Till another episode, fi amanillah.
Oh,
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.